Yes, it's Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And we are having some of the most wonderful weather. So if you are not here in Clearwater, Florida, you should get yourself down here because it is just beautiful. You cannot ask for a better spot on earth to just relax and enjoy yourself. The entire area is fantastic. Of course, I don't know how many times our beaches have been voted the very best in America. It's a wonderful place to visit. And I hope that if you haven't been here, you'll make a trip down here because you will enjoy yourself. And I know, and I'm telling this particularly to my brother in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, it is not that hot. It is only 84 degrees. And really, you can come down. he doesn't like anything over 55 degrees. So I have a problem getting him down here in the summertime. But I do hope that he will, you know, make an exception and get down here because it is just, we're just having the most fantastic weather. And I just want to tell everyone, you know, I'm so grateful. I've gotten many, many emails from people congratulating me on the second anniversary of my program. And I really appreciate it. It's been amazing 2 years. It's been a lot of hard work. But it's been worth it because I think that in this time, not only have I just grown so much as a person because of all the wonderful people that I have spoken to and met, but I hope that I have helped some of you to focus and to either discover a book that really meant something to you, that has touched your heart, or perhaps, and this is even more important to me, to really inspire you to write your book. Oh, it was funny. I was at a dinner the other evening, and I was sitting at the table, and boy, just there, all of the people were strangers. My husband and I were there, and the other six people we didn't know. And so we introduced ourselves, and I was so happy to hear the stories from everyone, where they came from, about their families, about, you know, their jobs. The woman to the left of me was very enthusiastically talking about how she was looking forward to retiring because then she could continue her work on her family tree. And she's gone so far. She had taken the DNA test and got the results. And so she had already discovered that part of her family, half of her family, came from a certain district in Holland. I did not realize that the DNA could be so specific that you could actually find, I knew sort of the general area, but I didn't know that you could find almost the exact district where her family came from. And so, of course, she was very excited about that, and she started doing research, pulling out what family papers they had, and then going to the county where her family was mostly located. And it was so exciting for her to discover that the first part of her family came to America in 1647. Wow. I mean, that is really early. So she has an amazing story to tell. And I was really surprised when I said to her, well, okay, you know, when's the book coming out? And she said she had never even thought about writing a book. She's just got all the information and she puts it in a little file and she's very happy with it. I said, no. Oh, you have to write this story because who else is going to do it? You have the information at your fingertips. And she's done a lot of work and she's going to be, now that she's going to retire in a few months, she's going to have more time to get even further details and actually to travel back up to the area where her family lived for over 300 years. And so this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for her to do really in-person research at the various, either she will go to libraries, because the libraries, particularly up there in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, they have fantastic records. They keep fantastic records. She can also go to the churches that her, or synagogues that her family attended. So she has many, many areas where she can do the research. But she had not thought at all about writing a book. And I said, well, you have to. And so I explained to her that there is a process. Now, she, of course, she feels that she can't write a book. She's never written a book. She hasn't actually, other than business letters, she hasn't written anything for 40 years. And it really, the funny thing is, I was surprised that it had not occurred to her to write a book, particularly when you have a family that came here all the way back in 1647, before the American Revolution. Her family certainly lived through all of that. She had relatives, I'm sure, who were in the Revolutionary War and in the, Civil War, World War I, World War II. So there are so many areas in which she will find interesting information about her family. Now, of course, she, at the time, the other night, she said, oh, I'm not writing a book. Well, she is going to write a book. She doesn't know me. Now that we've met, I'm going to hound her like crazy until she is actually writing a book. And I hope maybe in 2 or 3 years, she'll be sitting here in the studio with me and talking about and being very proud of the book that she has written about her family. Now, all of you can do this. You know, all of you have a story to tell, whether you are Native American. And I just recently met a wonderful Native American, and he has decided to write the story of Navajo life in the settlements before white people came to America. And he is writing a story that I found it absolutely fantastic. He was kind enough to let me read it. And it's a young adult story about Navajos. And so this is his way to keep the stories alive, to keep the history alive. And this is what you can do. So my new friend on the left-hand side of me is going to be writing a book. I'm already sending her samples of books that she should read that will give her an idea of what she should aim for. I have several favorite ones. Maria's Journey by Trish and Ray Arredondo is a wonderful, wonderful example of a family story. Trish and Ray did a lot of research about Ray's mother, who came from Mexico. And it is such a heartwarming and delightful story of perseverance, of hard work, of people who really had a goal in their life to make their lives better, and they did. And Ray, of course, is a perfect example of it. He's a fantastic person, a businessman. And so with his wife, Trish, the two of them, again, they use libraries and all sorts of resources to do this research and to bring their story alive. So Maria's Journey is one of the books that you might want to read when you're thinking about writing a story about your family. Now, there's another wonderful book that I like very much, and it's by Sarah Im, I-M. And it is a book in which she talks about her memories of the killing fields of Cambodia. It is a very, very one of those books that you read it and you think, my goodness, how could anyone live through this? Again, Sarah is so inspirational in her writing. So if you have a story, perhaps in your life, whether it was your own experience that you went through something horrific and survived it, or someone in your family did, this is the time to sit down and write and just tell this story, preserve it, make sure that you can share it with other people. It is so easy nowadays. And one of the things when we were sitting at this dinner, and I got into the discussion about books and how easy it is nowadays to get your book out there. I'm not talking about the books that perhaps a novel that you want to find an agent to get it published by a big house. I'm talking now about the family stories. And you all have family stories. The woman to the right of my husband was also fascinating. Really, at this table of the six people, I managed to get enough information from five of them that I could probably sit down and write not the story of their lives, but use their stories to tell a very interesting story in a novel. I could use this information. I'm not going to use it, but I think that this is, again, for all of us who are looking to write, you want to talk to people. You need to talk to people so that you can hear their stories. And all of these little things start clicking in your mind. Well, this is an interesting character. This is an interesting character. So the woman to my right is a vet. She went through the Gulf War, and it was fascinating to hear her situation and the problems that she faced. Again, this would make a wonderful, wonderful story, and probably, and I have worked with some vets on their stories, and this is important for them to tell their stories to make sure that they're not forgotten. But whether you're a vet writing about what you went through or a vet who just needs to have this therapeutic time in your life where you write, not necessarily about what you went through, but just write about things that make you feel something that connects you to the rest of humanity. Because what happens so often to vets, I know, is that they come back and they have all of these problems, and PTSD is such a very, very serious problem. And I encourage vets to think about writing a book, just almost to clear your head. One way, either to get rid of bad memories or to fill your mind with new memories and with a new goal in life. So it's funny how with just one dinner party, I managed to think of and find out stories from so many fascinating people. People that you would just, you pass in the street, you think they're just ordinary everyday people. But in fact, nobody is ordinary and everyday. We all have fantastic stories behind us. Some very funny, some very sad, but the wonderful thing is that you can share it. And that's why I call this program Joy on Paper. So for any of you who are interested in writing a memoir or you want to know more, you can go to my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper.com, or you can send me an email. And my name is Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I, so it's Patsy at radio-joyonpaper.com. Send me an email. I will send you a list of books that I recommend you read to get yourself started. Or, I even have some worksheets that will help you focus and plan. And also, I have a list of references where you can go to get information about your family, about your family history. So, just send me an email. It's Patsy at radio-joyonpaper.com. And again, you spell my name, P-A-T-Z-I. And in a little while, you'll hear why that is important. I want you to remember that because it is also a promo code. And if you use my promo code, it really helps to support this program. My goal here with Joy on Paper has been to inspire you and to help you focus. And of course, I want everyone, all of you to write, and I want all of you to read more. You cannot be a good writer unless you are also a good reader. And that means there's a time in the day where you should just take for yourself to read. I know we all fall into this terrible trap of social media and the internet and surfing and all of that stuff. But in the end, that doesn't really get you anywhere. And actually, probably surfing the net nowadays can get you very depressed. So I suggest to you, pick up a book and read it. And at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to talk to you about how you can start writing very quickly and be amazed with yourself. But first, I'm going to run a very nice little segment with Robert K. Tannenbaum. Now, I asked Bob, when Bob was on my program, and we were talking about his book, Infamy, which was his latest book in his Butch Karp series, I was, of course, impressed with his writing. I've always enjoyed his writing. His series, if you have not read the Butch Karp series, you really must. I have a problem reading that series because it's so good that, and I compare his series. Now, Robert K. Tannenbaum was a New York City district attorney. He's famous in the entire legal world as never having lost a case. Well, actually, he lost one case, but he immediately turned around, realized what he had made a mistake doing, fixed it, brought the person back to trial, and he got a conviction. So he never actually lost a case, which is pretty great for a district attorney. And Bob, what I love about Bob is he is a very deep person. In his books, which are mysteries and they're very exciting, and but he always has in his books, he talks, he just puts in there some important elements of history, American history, world history, things that you should know about. And so when we started talking, I realized that he had so many recommendations in his book, in his books about the books that people should read, what he calls the essentials. So I asked him if he would join Joy on Paper as a special collaborator and a guest collaborator who would just once in a while give us a book that he really thinks we should all read. So I'm happy that in a few moments I'm going to run one of the book buzz moments that we have taped. So you can listen to this one, and I hope that you can go to my webpage again. It's radio-joyonpaper.com, and I have an entire page just with Bob's recommendations. All of them are great, and all of them are really essentials, books that shouldn't be missed. Many of them are out, have been, you know, were printed 20, 30 years ago. But that's the wonderful thing about the internet. You can still get those books, you can still enjoy those books, and learn from those books. And so we'll go to the book buzz moment, and then we'll go straight from the book buzz moment into a commercial, and then we'll be back. And I want to talk to you about how you can actually write a book by stealing a book.
A book buzz moment with Robert K. Tannenbaum, author of the best-selling Butch, Carp, Marlene, Champy series. Check out his latest release, Infamy.
John Adams, David McCullough's book, published at Simon & Schuster. And the reason I chose John Adams is that the relevance of Adams is as it was in American history, with the great honest Yankee patriot who gave all for his country and had one of the great love affairs with his wife, Abigail Adams, who was way ahead of her time as a fabulous individual, is that John Adams and his, and who we call the founders, his colleagues, pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor, and compromised in order to make sure that we had a country. And his son of a farmer led a revolution that changed the world. The notion of compromise, the notion of having a vision, did not interfere with his ability and that of his colleagues that whom he influenced in order to create the vision of America. And one of the things, one of the many things he did, which I think is most relevant, particularly as it impacted me and continues to impact me with my value system on all the 31 books that I've done, is the case that we know popularly as the so-called Boston Massacre that happened on March 5th, 1770. And very quickly, the facts of that case are there was a lone sentry, a British sentry, posted in front of the nearby custom house in Boston. And he was taunted by a group of a few hundred who came there of colonists. And then a backup team of British guards came, eight soldiers and a captain. And during this melee, the Brits were pelted with ice, stones, snowballs, oyster shells. And then they opened fire, and five people in colonists in the mob were killed, and they were tried. And Sam Adams, the cousin of John Adams, saw this as a great opportunity to stir up public opinion and use it for propaganda in order to continue the movement into the revolution. And he called it a bloody butchery. And who was the person who defended the British soldiers and the captain? None other than John Adams. He was always, he felt that it was significant that the facts in a court decide the case, not public opinion or propaganda, but the facts of the case. There was no prejudgment from his point of view. It's the whole basis of due process that we live with today, embedded in the Fifth Amendment. Nobody should be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process, and in the 14th. The equal application of law to everyone. And so it was Adams who argued the case and had the captain acquitted and six other of the, there were two trials actually, one for the captain and one for the other eight soldiers, British soldiers, and six of the soldiers were also acquitted. He demonstrates a fierce integrity, but most importantly, what he demonstrated was something we live with today in something I live with in the DA's office. That is to say, Adams believed that it was better that many guilty persons escape unpunished than one innocent person should be punished, should be convicted. The conviction of the unjustly accused in our system of government was anathema to him, as it is to those of us who cherish the Constitution, along, of course, read consistently with the Declaration of Independence. And that aspect derives from the notion that we are about freedom, not government interference with that freedom. And the exoneration of the unjustly accused was the very basis of the book I did, Echoes of My Soul, which is my third nonfiction book, which I'll talk about a little bit as we go forward. But the notion that Adams believed this and suffered public scorn because he was, with respect to handling the so-called Boston Massacre case, he was out of step with popular outrage. That didn't interfere with his fierce integrity and his honesty and commitment to what was important. And he also, in the larger sense, understood that there had to be compromise because all the colonies, he wanted all 13 colonies to support the Constitution and be committed to the new country. And so he needed Virginia because Virginia was the most wealthy colony. And notwithstanding slavery, he compromised and dealt with Jefferson, dealt with Madison. He dealt with slave owners. He was a major abolitionist. And the compromise was that he desperately wanted to have Virginia lead the way so that the rest of the South would be part of the Union. And that Union, he wanted to be unanimous. So the second president of the United States, the first to occupy the White House, spent a lot of time overseas during the course of the American Revolution. And one of the areas that he was most important in is after the Battle of Saratoga, of which Aaron Burr was a major player, then as a fighting general for Washington, was that once the Dutch realized that the British could be defeated in 1778 at the Battle of Saratoga, they decided that they would loan substantial funds because of Adams in pleading for that behalf so that the American Revolution could continue. And so notion of John Adams is, to me, one of the greatest Americans who ever lived, dedicated his entire life to formulating the vision of America, something we enjoy today that is precious. The most precious gift we have is to be an American. That means to be free, free from government intrusion and the far-reaching effects of the development of agencies that have a way of diminishing our freedoms as well. Interestingly, he and Jefferson died on their day, which was July 4th, 1826, and Adams, who was very frugal, left an estate of $100,000 approximately to his family, and Jefferson, who was an aristocrat, was in debt $100,000. But both men came back into friendship after the bitter election of 1800, and it is remarkable and inspirational when one understands the intellect, the self-sacrifice, and the genius of our founders, epitomized by, of course, John Adams and Alexander Hamilton, Washington, of course, and Jefferson and Madison. This book is worth reading.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And to celebrate March as National Sleep Awareness Month, Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543. Promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I. Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And again, I'm just going to spell my name again, P-A-T-Z-I. And it is good in the promo code. I know the last advertisement said March, but Mark Lindell is still, I'm sorry, Mike Lindell is still promoting his special month of pillows, and it's good in April too. So please, please use that. And I want to say, you know, thank you to Mike for, you know, supporting Joy on Paper with this, giving me this opportunity to use this promo code, because my goal is to keep this program going so that I can not only interview best-selling authors, but to help independent authors. There are so many of you out there who are looking for a way to reach a wider audience, and I am open to all types of books. That one of the lovely things about having my own program is that I interview the type of books I like, which is pretty eclectic. So if you have a book, it doesn't really matter if it's inspirational. I love inspirational books, children's books. I've had many wonderful children authors on. So whatever you have, whatever kind of book you have, contact me, and I if I have time, I will invite you to be on the program. And again, I'm hoping that sometime soon I will be able to add an extra hour, because I have so many wonderful authors who want to be on the program. And I'm really excited that next week I have both Sarah Paretsky and David Baldacci. Both of them are going to be on Joy on Paper. Now, I want to talk for a minute. Two things I want to say. One, I know many of you have asked if I could give you find you an agent. I can't find you an agent. That's, you know, this is a whole different ballgame. I do interview agents that might be able to help you. And so go to my webpage and see under the VIP section, I have the listing of agents. And you can listen to their interviews. You can see if they're the ones who would be interested in the type of book you are writing, and I will be expanding that. It's been a crazy 2 years. I have been trying to bring in as many literary agents as possible, and I will be adding more this summer, because I want you to have a wide range of literary agents, from authors who literary agents who specialize. For example, Andrea Brown, who is the best literary agent for children's books. She is a wonderful woman. Her interview is on my webpage, and I'm going to have her back on. So again, I can't find you an agent, but I hope that I will be bringing you enough agents over the summer that you will hear somebody, and then you can write to them and say, well, you heard about them from Patsy's Joy on Paper radio program, and that will give them some idea of the type of person you are, because if you're listening to this radio program, they know that you are interested in writing and that you want to learn more. And that's what agents want. Agents want authors who are active, authors who are going out there and trying to meet people, trying to expand their platform, which is what you have to do nowadays in order to get noticed. But in order to get noticed, first you have to write the book. And this occurred to me when I was talking to someone else. They said, well, I cannot write anything. And I said, well, I think you can, but you have to try. And it is such a daunting process that it occurred to me that one of the ways that you can do this, and this is sort of a fun way, is steal another author's work. I would suggest that you pick up any book around the house, any novel that you can find, new, old, good, bad, I don't care what it is. Just pick it up and take it with you to the computer and sit down and don't read it yet. Don't think about it. Just, you have the book in your hand. And you can do this with simply any book, except please do not pick up Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, because there's no way you're going to be able to work on that first chapter, because it's just too good. I mean, there's no way when you start reading, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. You're not going to get much better. It goes on and on. And if you haven't read this paragraph, this opening paragraph to A Tale of Two Cities, you really must, because you've heard that expression and you probably, if you haven't read the book, you don't know where it comes from. But you can't do better than to start with Charles Dickens if you want to become a writer. But take a book. It doesn't matter what book. And sit down. And we're going to do only the first three pages. It doesn't matter, you know, if you type slowly or fast, just start typing it in. You're going to type in three pages. This is an assignment. And as you're writing, as you're typing it in, it's going into your head and you're thinking, okay. And it might be a really good book. And now suddenly, I like this. It might be a book you start to say, well, I don't know. Did I read this book? Did I like this book? I don't like this book. But as you type, make yourself a rule here. You're going to type three pages. Now sit back and think about what you've just done. You've put in the first three pages of a book. Someone has worked on that book. The author might be good. The author might be bad. If the author is good, it will hit you immediately because you will want to read that book. And if you haven't, if you've read that book a long time ago, you will want to reread that book because that's how good the author is. They have grabbed you in three pages or less. If it is not good, then you have to ask yourself why. If you've picked up a book, for example, I was talking to Jeffrey Deaver the other day, and his new book, The Burial Hour, has perhaps, I think, one of the very best openings. It is actually three pages, is an entire first chapter. Just three pages. It is almost, I mean, I think it is perfect. I won't even say almost perfect. So many times for me, when I'm reading, of course, I've read 10,000 books, so I recognize styles. I recognize all sorts of things about a writer in the first few pages. But this, I think this Burial Hour, three pages, is one of the very best. In those three pages, he tells an entire story so easily, with so few words. It is really an example of one of the best first chapters I've ever read. You can easily read it. The book is just came out on Tuesday. It's an interesting book. Of course, if you have seen the movie The Bone Collector with Denzel Washington, Jeffrey Deaver, that was his very first book in his Lincoln Rhymes series. And the new book is his 13th. And he gets better and better. But one of the things he said about this first chapter is that he rewrote it. He wrote it once and he rewrote it around 30 times. And if you read, when you read it, for anyone who just picks up the book and reads it, you read it and you know that this is going to be a good story. Now, as a new writer, if you haven't typed in his book, but you've typed in somebody else, analyze it and say to yourself, could I write this better? Could I go paragraph by paragraph and say, okay, this paragraph could be tightened up. Well, now right away you're starting to think like a writer. And you will find this. It happens so often. You have a book and you read it. It hasn't really made that great of an impression on you. And you're not sure why. But now as a new writer, analyze that. Say to yourself, could I rewrite that and make it better, make it more interesting, use a different word? Whatever. If you start thinking like a writer, then you can be a writer. Now, I did that with Jeff's first chapter, and I didn't type it in. I didn't have to because I had it there in front of me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, okay, could I do better than this? And with that chapter, I know I couldn't. But there are many books where I've taken and I say, okay, the author, even a famous author, it could be better. And, wow, It makes you feel good when you start analyzing. It makes you feel good when you start understanding. And if you find an author whose work you say, wow, nobody could do it better, I could never do it better, then this is an author whose book you want to read, whose book you want to, perhaps you want to start at the very first if it's a series. You learn a lot by reading series. I generally read. One of the reasons I have so much fun talking to authors is that I do read all of their books. And, you know, if I have an author, for example, Jeff or Brad Meltzer or certainly Mary Higgins Clark, I have read all of her books. And I know the style, and I know I can see with an author, and sometimes this is always fun with a young author. I will pick up a young author, and I will see the development as they get better. And then I've also seen the opposite, where an author has been working on a series and they're doing really great, and first 6 books, 7 books, 8 books are great, and then you can see that they stop being interested in the subject and they just get lazy, and perhaps they don't do that 30 rewrites. It happens so often with writers when you first start, and then you're told that you will probably rewrite your book many times, not once, not twice. You will rewrite your book 3-4 times, the entire book. But again, it's fun. As an author, when you're told that in the beginning, you say, that sounds like a, but in the end, authors find it lots of fun, because it is that when you are to the point where you say, that cannot be written better, like Jeffrey Deaver got, and he was very proud of that that first chapter. And I like when an author has that immediate joy of knowing that a reader has discovered that he has done a perfect job. So this is a way to start. You're not going to publish these 3 pages that you've just stolen, but you will learn a lot from these 3 pages. Whether it is, should the author had used, should there have been adjectives? In many cases, you don't want to have too many adjectives. But if you do have an adjective in those 3 pages, is it the right adjective? Would there have been a better adjective? In this, you're typing this into Word, you can quickly just click on a word and look and pull up the thesaurus and say, he used that word, but I could use this word and it would be even better. So if you start seeing that, you are becoming a writer. And after that, you don't need to steal somebody's 3 pages. You don't need to steal anything, because it will start flowing from you. And that is what we call joy on paper. And I know that you can do it. And you might not ever get to Jeffrey Deaver's level, because he has really fine-tuned his writing to a great degree, and that's why he is an international best-selling author. But why not? Try. And I love to hear from all of you who send me little emails and say, well, I started writing. I didn't think I could write anything, but I started, and I'm feeling good about myself, and I'm trying to do that page a day so that in a year I will have a novel. It's a beginning. That's all you have to do. Take those 3 pages, steal the first 3 pages. If you've never written before, it's a way to start. I'm going to take another commercial break because I need to promote. That's the name of the business. We need to promote. So just listen to this commercial and I'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And to celebrate March as National Sleep Awareness Month, Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY. And Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543. Promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I'm back, and I want to talk to you a little bit about my guest next week, Sarah Paretsky. For those of you who have read her books, you know that she is one of the first female authors to really make a strong detective, female detective, and make her famous. And of course, her detective is V.I. Warshawski, and all of Sarah's books are hard-hitting. They are so interesting, and Sarah has an amazing fan base. It was funny, last year when her previous book came out, I was unable to have her on the program simply because I didn't have enough time, which is why I want to add another day, because it really is so hard for me to refuse anybody. When I find a great book that I love, I want to talk to the author, and it's just so hard when I have to say, oh, I don't have time. I just don't have time. So if enough of you get out there and buy this wonderful My Pillows, and they really are wonderful, I really would appreciate it. And promo code is Patsy, so what can be difficult about that? And I hope that you will support Joy on Paper, because one of the things that, you know, I have had so much fun talking to authors. My favorite book of last year was A Gentleman in Moscow. And I am so thrilled that one of the local libraries here is having an event, A Gentleman in Moscow Evening. And it is wonderful idea for all of you. If you are fans of a particular book, go to your local library and talk about having an event. Now, I highly recommend A Gentleman in Moscow. It is a wonderful book. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be announcing sometime within the next few months. But the author, Amor Towles, is my selection and my listener's selection for the best book of last year. And I will be presenting Amor Towles with an award. And I'm not sure yet what it's going to be called. I didn't know if it was going to sound too egotistical to call it the Patsy. But I think maybe I will. Anyway, we're working on a very, very special design for this award, and I'm so proud that we will be able to present it to Amor Towles. And meanwhile, I suggest you read this book. I was thrilled to have the narrator of the book, Nicholas Guy Smith. He was on the program, and he read a portion of the book. And that interview, the entire interview, is available on my website, radio-joyonpaper.com. This was a wonderful, wonderful time for me to talk, not just to the author, but to the narrator. And I would love to hear about anyone who has A Gentleman in Moscow Evening. You can go to Amor's site, and it's called Amor, A-M-O-R, Told. And you can see there all sorts of ideas for Russian-themed events, and I really think it would be wonderful if you did it. And send me some pictures, because I'm going to be posting the pictures from our event here at Indian Shores in Florida, at the Indian Shores Library on April 28th, and I think that it's just a fun kind of thing to do. But whatever your favorite book is, go to your library, become a sponsor or friend of the library, and hold one of these events. You might want to do a Death on Demand series event, or a wonderful thing to do. And I have done this before. I had a Death by Chocolate event, and it's fun to do. And then you can have collect all of your favorite, cozy mysteries and have a Death by Chocolate event. All of these are important to do because, one, it encourages other people to read the author's books. And that's what we're about. We want to encourage people to read. The more readers we have, the more writers can get out there and sell their books. So it's a thing that we all have to do. And I want to encourage everyone to support your libraries. If you have not been to your library recently, go. You can become a volunteer. Most of the smaller libraries, or even the larger ones, need volunteers. You can become a friend of the library and support them. And support particularly their reading programs for children. And, of course, you can help sponsor one of these events, like an evening with a gentleman in Moscow. And we're looking forward to that. And they're going to have all sorts of wonderful food, including vodka and caviar. So it's going to be fun. So it's something that, again, it's this finding the joy in reading and finding the joy in sharing what you read with others, because it's not so many people read and that's it, and there's no connection. You don't connect with other people, but books offer you this opportunity. If you're a writer, join a writer's group. There are so many writer's groups. You can go to Meetup if you're in a larger area, and if you're in a smaller town, I'm sure you can put up a notice in your local library and just meet other writers, because they will encourage you. And when we're talking about doing this page a day, if you're in a writer's group, they really do encourage you to do so. And you get the opportunity to share your writing and to share your reading. Because as I said, you cannot be a great writer unless you are a great reader. And that's why I bring you every week fantastic authors. And in addition to, for example, next week, in addition to Sarah Paretsky, I'm going to have David Baldacci back on. This guy's been on my program like four times in the past 3 months. But that's because he's so busy and he writes so much and he is so much fun. I so love to talk to him. And then I also have next week Johnny Clark. And I really love his books. Why? I love military books. Any military book I will read, because I just enjoy military books. And Johnny is an American hero, and he wrote a wonderful book, well, quite a few wonderful books, but Guns Up was a bestseller, and we're going to be talking about that book and some of his other books. So I hope that you will join me he's going to be on the same program with David Baldacci, and I'm so thrilled that he's coming back to the program. I also have a very interesting woman, and this is something I want to try to bring to you. People who can help you market your books. So once you've written that book, you need to be in a position to create media buzz and to get noticed. And this is what JKS Communications does. It's one of the premier book marketing companies in the country. And I am so happy that the founder, Julie Shoke, is going to be on the program, and we will be able to pick her brains and see how you can get out there and create the media buzz for your book. So I'm really excited about having her on the program, and I hope that you will learn a lot. And if you have questions that you want me to ask her, write to me, Patsy, at radio-joyonpaper.com. Also, if you have a favorite author that you want me to invite, I will be happy to do so. And I've had so many requests. Of course, there are many that I am trying to get on, and I'm hoping that I will have John Grisham on soon. Of course, one of the best authors of legal thrillers. I believe that Robin Cook is going to be coming back on. He is often here in Florida. He has a home a little further south of Clearwater. And so I'm hoping that he's going to be coming into the studio to talk about his books. And, of course, if you don't know it, Robin Cook has sold a billion books. Not a million, billion. We're talking a billion, 1 billion with a B. So I'm really excited that we're going to have him back in the studio to talk about his books. But meanwhile, as I said, just enjoy your life. Do things, because if you want to write, if you want to have your books full of interesting things, especially if you're writing mysteries and thrillers and you want to get out there and make them really interesting, it helps if you actually do things. So go for a hike, go for a climb, go sailing, do something that you can use in your books and just have fun. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful weekend here in Florida. And everybody should just get out and enjoy themselves. And I hope that up north it has warmed up enough so that all of you can get out and do something wonderful for the weekend. And meanwhile, again, I want to remind you the books, two books I recommended, Maria's Journey by Ray and Trish Arredondo, and Sarah Eames' The Killing Fields. Surviving the Killing Fields are available on Amazon, and I hope that you will check them out as examples of the type of book that you can write, because I know you can do it, and I know that you would love to be a guest here on Joy on Paper. So all you have to do is start writing, and you will find out one of the most fun parts, of course, is the research. Research can take you all over the country, and I know authors who have travel from one end of the country to the other in researching their family history and making contacts. Sometimes what you do is you find relatives that you didn't remember, didn't know about, and you're starting to collect their stories about your family. So it can be just absolutely a joy. And that's what we're trying to do here on Joy on Paper. So have a great weekend. And I'm just going to remind you, support Joy on Paper by going to mypillow.com and using promo code Patsy, because we need the support so that we can bring you more wonderful authors, both best-selling and new and upcoming authors, to inspire you to write your book. Bye for now.